Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and thank you for joining us on today's radio program, Private Officer Radio Network. We're so glad that you're with us today, and we're so glad to be with you. If you are wondering, as I am, what's going on, you're not alone. We were recording live earlier today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And midway through the show, we was notified that some of the show had not recorded properly. Some of it may have been muted out. And after checking, we did find that there were some technical difficulties, and it seems like only a part of the program was recorded for on demand, and maybe part of it had been muted out. And unfortunately, because of those technicalities and things beyond our control, today's show is actually not going to be live. We are re-recording the show as an on-demand podcast at this time. So if you're listening to us, we apologize for that inconvenience. We're sorry that there was some technical difficulties, but if you've ever worked in the radio industry or TV industry, you'll know that the funniest of things can happen. I have been both behind the scenes as well as in front of the camera and radio studio numerous times when situations have occurred that was beyond anyone's control. And so I do sincerely apologize for this being not a live program and you're not able to call in today as you otherwise normally would. But we'll get back on track for our next program, which will be Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So today, let's carry on with our show as a on-demand podcast form anyways. And get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing. We want to say, as I did in the previous show today, that last Wednesday was our first time back on the air after being absent for quite some time. And we're in a different format now, as much different than we were before. So we failed to recognize that we were now broadcasting worldwide, and there are many listeners listening to us in various countries, not just in the U.S. So I apologize, and I won't make that mistake again. If you're listening to us in one of our membership countries, we say hello to you and top of the day. It's actually bottom of the day where I am. And probably later in the evening where you are, but at any rate, we're glad that you're with us. We also want to give a shout-out to Frank and Leslie Turvey in Blackpool, England. There are regional chapter managers there. Also, Kevin up in Canada, Drake in South Africa, and our associates, friends, and association members all around the world. We're glad that you're with us today, and we're glad that you've been listening to us. We appreciate all of the emails that we received after Wednesday's show, and we're looking forward to really using this radio show as a tool to continue networking, training, and reaching out to those in the private security industry, law enforcement, and the community as a whole that may not be aware of what security personnel really do and the dangers that they really are involved in. As I did on Wednesday and will do for the next few shows, I'd like to spend just a moment of my time to introduce you to Private Officer International. For those of you who are not members, may not have ever heard of the association, or may have questions as to what is it that they're all about. Private Officer International started in 2004 as the National Association of Private Officers. We began with several security industry leaders who knew that it was time that we began to train, network, recognize private security personnel as the industry continues to grow in mammoth proportions. We don't want to get into any type of contest with law enforcement, but statistics will prove that private security now is 2.5 times larger than all forms of law enforcement combined and continues to grow. And so we decided in 2004 to begin an association where we could collectively begin to help private security personnel be recognized, trained, and network and provide services and products that no other association, no other company was doing, not only in the U.S., but worldwide. We have been talking to associates in Europe and Canada about the various security organizations in those countries, and they have told me flat out, there is no other organization that does what you do. There is no other security organization that collects data, that networks, that trains, that collectively is there for the frontline security officer the way that Private Officer International is. And so we will continue to grow. We will continue to reach out to all security officers worldwide. That's why in 2009, the National Association of Private Officers became Private Officer International, because we know that security officers have the same problems. They face the same dangers. They lack the same type of training, respect, and, you know, basically they're not paid very well worldwide. It's not just a U.S. problem. It's happening everywhere. And Private Officer International collectively is here to do a little something about that. We may not be able to change the industry overnight. We may not have a huge impact, but we will have some form of impact on individuals working in the security field and hopefully on the industry as a whole. If you'd like to email me anytime I'm on the air, you can do so at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Even though today the radio program is in the format of a podcast, you can still send me an email if you're listening to this show today or tomorrow or next week and you want to contact me. Feel free to do so at radio@privateofficer.com. I'd like to take just a moment to recognize the awful catastrophes happening in Chile. I'm sure by now you have heard, you have read, you have seen the news. The devastation happening in Chile, the earthquake in 8.8, one of the largest recorded in that area of the world. More than 700 people are now said to have been killed in that horrific earthquake, many others injured. We do have U.S. forces on the ground there. We have many Americans on the ground in Hades, where an earthquake occurred about a month ago. Hundreds were killed there. We'd ask today that you would pray and remember these people as well as the Americans in both Haiti and Chile, trying to assist those countries. We have private security companies who have responded to aid and protection of businesses. We have chaplains from various denominations and associations that are on the ground in those locations. Many doctors, nurses, and medical providers, paramedics, EMTs, firefighters, and rescuers from the U.S. and around the world are there in those countries trying to do the best that they can to help those citizens overcome this devastation. And so I ask you to remember them and hopefully this type of incident won't happen again anytime soon. The U.S. Did luckily dodge the bullet yesterday when a tsunami threat was sent out for Hawaii Islands and part of the Pacific U.S. Fortunately, they got little more than some high waves and a little water damage. It could have been much worse. It could have been devastating to some of the islands. Hawaii could have really seen some death toll there, but luckily they avoided that, and we're glad that they did. For those of you who may be interested in helping out in events, weather emergencies and catastrophes here in the U.S., Private Officer does have a ready force standby. We do coordinate and administer a rapid response team. If you'd like to be involved in that, please send us your information at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Again, that's adminassist@privateofficer.com. It's not a lot of fun to be a victim of a hurricane or tornado or any major disaster, but it is a good feeling and a blessing to be involved as a participant in aiding those victims. And so if you want to become involved, if you want to become part of a response team in the U.S., please let us know and email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. I'd like very quickly to get into our weather, our email bag, talking about the weather. Weather is on my mind here as we're facing a snowstorm for our region for Tuesday, and it's going to be March, and it should be sunny and warm and highs in the 70s, but instead, Georgia and the Carolinas is under the gun for Tuesday with a snowstorm possibility. So I have weather on the brain, I guess. But I'm going to get into our email bag. We did receive, as I said earlier, a number of emails letting us know that people are listening to the show and that they're glad that we're back on the air. Daryl in Bridgeport, Connecticut, said it was a great show, a lot of great information. Very interested in the chapters. Hope you're opening one in my area here in Connecticut. Not a member of Private Officer, but I will be soon. And Daryl, we are looking forward to opening chapters in Connecticut. That is where I was born, bred, and raised, if you will. And so we are looking forward to having offices in the Bridgeport, Stamford area, Hartford, and New Haven area as well. Marty in Tucson, Arizona wrote, great show, really enjoyed it. Been in the security industry for more than 29 years. Never knew that anything like this existed. Didn't know any company cared as much as what Private Officer seems to. Not a member of Private Officer, but he too said he will join now that he is aware of the association. And we're glad for that. We need members. We need for you to join. It's important that you become a member of the association. Not so that we can get rich, because definitely we're not going to get rich. You know, to be frank with you, this is not a moneymaker. In fact, anyone else probably would have closed it down a long time ago. But because we have a sincere desire to assist private security personnel, we will continue in the good fight. Dallas writes, to remind the listeners to wear their vests, train. This young man was involved in a close quarter shootout as a bank security officer in Dallas, Texas. He was shot at by an armed robber who, fortunately for this security officer, he was prepared. He had the right mindset. His vest did save him, and the bank robber didn't fare so well. We hope to be talking with him in an upcoming show in about 2 weeks about active shooters and close quarter shooting. The majority of security officers are killed by gunshots, and most within 3 to 5 feet. And we'll be talking to him and a special police officer from North Carolina who was also involved in a shootout recently and survived it. We have a lot of information to share with you today. And we have a short time to get there. So we're going to switch modes real quick and go over to the news department. We have a lot of security situations in the news. And for some reason, a lot of information and news items coming out of Memphis, Tennessee. Of course, Memphis being a very large metropolitan area, a lot of crime, drugs, criminal activity, but there's also a lot of good people who live there. And we have members there, and we know that it's a fight, a battle, but it's also a good city. Memphis, unfortunately, is where the latest security officer was shot and killed. Saturday afternoon, somewhere around 3 p.m., Marcus Rainey, 28, a security officer for the Southland Mall, was shot and killed during a confrontation. From the information that I received from the news reports that I've read, evidently a fight broke out at the mall. Security officer Rainey was dispatched or came upon it. He broke it up. One news article said that he had a person in custody or detained. I don't know if that means he had the person handcuffed. I don't know if that means he had the person on the floor fighting with him or against a wall. But at that point, a second person pulled a handgun and shot and killed Officer Rainey. As you know, or probably should know, all mall security, or 99% of mall security, are unarmed. They may have pepper spray. They may have a baton, but they do not carry handguns for the most part. There may be a few shopping malls that do, but the majority of security officers at malls are unarmed. So for this guy to pull a gun and to shoot this unarmed security officer was ludicrous. It was crazy. It was uncalled for. The suspect is still at large, and I hope that Memphis PD and the Shelby County Sheriff's Office will expedite their investigation and find the shooter and get him off the street, because he's obviously dangerous. Anyone who will shoot an unarmed person not only, you know, has no respect for the law, no respect for the public, he has no respect for life. He doesn't care. And so I hope that the local police will expedite their apprehension of this suspect. Also coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, as I spoke with you on Wednesday, a private guard, Gerald Hill, who worked for a contract security agency in Memphis, is accused of raping a alleged shoplifter at the Kroger store. Police say that Gerald Hill had two females in the office by himself. He sent one female and a second security officer downstairs, supposedly to wait for police, while he raped the shoplifter that he had in custody. Now, this week, the owner of that security company, Houston Aikens, supposedly has closed down his business, and he blames it on the security officer. He had to lay off or terminate 40 to 45 security officers because Kroger's was his primary and only client, he said. You know, I hate it for Mr. Akins, but the fact of the matter is, in this situation, Gerald Hill, the guard, had already had a conviction for rape in 2006. He already had a record for a felony. Anyone who would have done due diligence, anyone who would have done the required state background would have found that criminal conviction. And there's no excuse. He passed it off in the press this week to being another employee's fault because the employee did the investigation. But the bottom line is it always comes back on the owner. It always comes back to the person really in charge. And you know what they say, rolls downhill. And so, Mr. Akins, I'm sorry that you're out of business. I'm sorry that you have no way to support your family. If you ever get back in the security industry, I hope that you'll do your background checks. You're required by law to do certain things. I hope that you'll do them. I hope that you'll provide the service that your clients truly deserve. Another newsworthy item out of Memphis, Tennessee as well. Three Memphis police officers were arrested yesterday by the FBI in an undercover investigation. Three police officers, including a lieutenant, a 24-year veteran of the Memphis City Police Department, is alleged to have been checking down business owners, extorting them for money for protection. In some incidents, the FBI stated that they were also divulging confidential information to businesses and giving them heads up on when their business was under investigation or when they were about to be busted for particular violations. It's a crying shame. It's upsetting to see police officers and security personnel acting in this manner. It's a huge slap in the face for the Memphis, Tennessee law enforcement community. I know personally several Memphis police officers, Shelby County deputies are fine officers of the law. They are outstanding law enforcement officers above and beyond reproach. And I'm sure that today that they are really very upset there in the Memphis community, the Memphis law enforcement community, about these arrests, because it's one thing when there's one officer involved, but when you get two, three, four, the investigation is ongoing. Who knows what the FBI will uncover this week? Maybe there'll be five or six more officers arrested. Maybe, as the chief of police there in Memphis said, maybe he'll have to clean out the whole department, as they did several times in New Orleans. Corruption is it spreads like wildfire. You get three or four officers shaking people down or selling narcotics, and all of a sudden it rubs off on other people who have weak integrity. And I hope that's not the case in Memphis. One more thing that was brought to my attention in the news that was very sad this week. Out of New Brunswick, New Jersey, 25-year-old security officer Patricia Belazer was abducted and murdered by the baby, her baby's father. She was kidnapped in New Jersey, brought to New York. The child, the 20-month-old baby, was dropped off in Delaware. I know it's a little confusing. It was for me. I had to read it over several times. 25-year-old Dwayne Jackson, a security guard, was arrested. He's accused of not only murdering by strangulation Patricia, but burning her body during the murder event. Patricia Belazar was a security officer at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital. I must confess, I've never heard of that hospital. I'm sure it's a great location. It's a sad day for them, losing a dedicated employee. Now a 20-month-old baby has no father, because more than likely he'll be convicted and sent to prison, and no mother because she was killed. A last item in the news that struck me, I have discussed this numerous times in my blog, but I've written about it in several magazines, and I'm going to do a show about this in a couple of weeks. A 75-year-old security officer was robbed and beaten half to death, left for dead, at the Doctor Center at Flowers Hospital in Dothan, Alabama. Dothan, Alabama is right on the border of Panama City, Florida. It's a that event because the 75-year-old could not protect himself. He received a broken nose, a broken cheekbone, a broken orbital bone in the eye, and numerous other serious injuries. Fortunately for him, he will survive, but David Keith Johnson, who's been arrested for this crime, no doubt intended for the security officer not to survive. He wanted him to die because of the amount of injury that he did to this elderly security guard. I hate to say that I'm against older security personnel being on the job. I'm sure there are jobs for the elderly to do, security jobs. If they want to do security, they can maybe work at a warehouse or at an entry point at a factory or something where it's not as, potentially dangerous for them. But what do you think? You can email me at radio@privateofficer.com and tell me if you think older security people should be on the job. Even if the man was physically fit, even if he was in the best of health, even if he was G.I. Joe and had been, a Marine, at the age of 75, let's face it, very few are going to be a match for somebody who's 20 or 25. And so I'd like to hear what you think. Should we have a cutoff age for security officers? Should we have a minimal age? You have to be at least 18 in most states, 21 in a couple, to be a security officer. Should we maybe limit their age or put them out to pasture at a certain time? I don't know. Tell me what you think. Send me an email today at radio@privateofficer.com. And we're going to do a show about this because, it's one thing when we have security officers injured or killed. But when it's someone who probably could not defend themselves anyways in any environment, it almost gets to the point where maybe the employer, whether it be the hospital or a contract agency, maybe they might be liable if something happens to that security person. Again, we'll talk about this on an upcoming show. In the meantime, if you want to chime in, send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Today's show, we're going to be talking about the Memorial Benevolent Services that's offered by Private Officer International and some of the things that we're doing. You may not be aware, in the last 5 years, more than 380 security officers have been killed in the line of duty. Untold 100,000 have been injured, and that's not exaggerated. In 2009, we had more than 30,000 injuries to security personnel. Whether that was a scratch or a broken bone or something more serious, it doesn't matter. They were assaulted, they were injured, it counts. There is some question about how, whether or not a scratch really counts, but it does for statistical tracking purposes. Out of all of the security officers that were killed in the last 5 years that we've been tracking it, the majority have been shot to death. And that's very sad. It means that security officers really do face violent offenders, violent death, violent probability of dying by gunshots while on duty. For the last 5 years, the top three most dangerous types of security that you can do, and this has been the top three every year since we've been keeping track of the record. Number one, nightclub security. When you mix alcohol with firearms and crazy people who have hot tempers, you're going to get violence. And if you're a security officer working in the club, armed or unarmed, you're probably going to face that violence because you're the person that's coming to the aid of someone who may have been assaulted. You're the person who's breaking up the fights. You're the person who's getting out there in the forefront while everyone else is running away. Security, like firefighters, are going into the fire trying to put out the flame. So nightclub security, the top most dangerous type of security that you can do. Number two has been, for the last 5 years, armored car. If you work as an armored car security officer, your probability of being injured or killed in the line of duty is extremely high. And that's why the private officer in Dallas emailed me today and asked me to tell you to wear your vest. If you work in security and you have a vest, please wear it no matter what the temperature is out there. If you have no vest, but possibly you can afford one, or you have access to one, or your friend's in law enforcement and he can give you his old one, by all means, we encourage you to wear the vest. The number three most dangerous type of security that you can do is residential security, whether it be at an apartment, a condominium complex, a mobile home park, any place where people live. You're going to respond to domestic violence, drug activity, trespassing, gambling, the whole gamut, especially if you're working in large apartment complexes or housing Section 8s, HUDs. You know, the propensity for violence is going to be there. We have a survey going on the website right now that asks, have you been assaulted or injured as a security officer? And right now, we have 92% responding in the affirmative. Yes, they have been injured. 8% says no. So as you can see, it is a dangerous type of position. Regardless of what people think, a lot of people think that guards and security personnel don't do anything. They just sleep on the job. They just goof off. They talk on the phone, play on the computer. Well, you know, just like when I was in law enforcement, yeah, there's sometimes there are down times. You can be doing nothing and all of a sudden be faced with a gun in your face, or you may be involved in a shootout. You know, it doesn't take but one bullet to kill you. So private security officers do work in a dangerous, dangerous situation. If you would like to join us at any time on the web, let me give you some ways that you can contact us. We'd love to hear from you. You can join us at any time on our own forum website at privateofficer.ning, N-I-N-G.com. You can join other security officers from around the world who are there, share ideas, and network together. You can be a fan at Facebook, privateofficer.com. We're there. You can also follow us on Twitter/privateofficer. We did discontinue use of that for a while, but we decided to use that again. And you can join us and tweet us, whatever they do, tweet, private officer at Twitter. You can also read our news if you want to join all the other readers and all the other commenters. You can go to privateofficernews@wordpress.com. If you're interested in world security news, you can read our security news at securityworldnews@wordpress.com. That's news from around the world. If you have general questions, comments, or you're interested in membership, email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you and encourage you to go to the website, the main website at www.privateofficer.com, and look around. There's a lot of information. You know, we're growing. That website is growing. We add things to it every week. And we have a lot more that we're about to add that's very exciting to the website. So go take a look and see what it's all about. Someone had a question in an email last night about how we collect data and so forth. I'll answer that for you quickly. It is no small job. It is a huge task. We collect data year-round on injuries and shootings involving security officers. Our staff and volunteers are monitoring the web 24/7. We also send out information requests to various agencies. And it is a difficult task because you know, when you're a police officer, a firefighter, a plumber, they list you as such. But when you work in security, you might be a janitor and have some security duties. You might be a lifeguard with security duties. You might be a desk man or a, you know, various type of job. You might be a doorman and have security-related duties. If you do anything that falls within security duties, you are included in our toll and our statistical data because you provided security. And so it is very difficult at times if the media and the police don't release information, if the media doesn't catch that incident, if the police don't release a public press release to us, we don't get that information, we have to dig for it ourselves. And it is very tough. That's why whenever you're reading a statistical report from us, you'll always see estimated, because it's an estimate of what we think is out there. We don't have a firm, way of knowing. This year, so far, in 2010, 19 confirmed, these are security deaths that we know because we have confirmed them, but there probably is 23, 24, 25. This year, we're unfortunately on a track to have probably 100 security officers killed in the line of duty. I hope not, but, I mean, here we are at the end of February, 2 months have gone by, and almost 20 security officers killed. I know that injury-wise, we're in the thousands already. We're in the thousands of security officers injured in the last 2 months. So that tells me this might be a pretty violent year for private security personnel. A couple things I'd like for you to make a note of. If you're not aware, on our website, there is a memorial page. It has a memorial wall. We update that wall as soon as we get the information about a officer killed in the line of duty. It is a virtual wall, but that's about to change soon. We are also adding an international page for international security officers killed, and that will be on the site within the next month. On our main website, privateofficer.com, we also have a benevolent service page and a memorial fund page. We're continuously doing fundraising, continuously asking people to donate. We are a nonprofit. You can go there if you have $5, $10, $20, or maybe you just won a lottery and donate to the Memorial Fund. It's important that we support each other. It's important that we reach out to those injured in the line of duty, to those families where a security personnel has been killed, because if we don't do it, no one else will. There's no other association, no other organization in the U.S. or around the world doing what we're doing. I'm telling you that, folks, because we hear it all the time from members and associates and people that we don't know from countries far away, places I've never heard of, places I've never been. We know because we've had the contacts. Our training division is this month, in February, we've had the best response, the most enrollment in online training than we've ever had, because people are beginning to become aware of us, they're beginning to hear about us. They've told us there's no other training like this anywhere. We don't have it. It's not out there. It's not available. And so you've got something good going here, and you need to be involved. We invite you. We encourage you to become a member. We encourage you to take part in all the benefits that we offer. We encourage you to get involved in our Memorial Benevolent Service Program. If you'd like more information, email us at admin@privateofficer.com. There's a couple of things that I'm going to tell you that no one else knows. Only a few people are aware of this, but we're going to kind of let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. We are in the process, and I want to say this as sincerely as possible and as direct and as, I don't even know the right words, but we are in the process, the beginning stages of erecting a memorial wall. We have drawings and plans. We have a couple of possible sites picked out, locations, but we're going to put up a memorial wall for security officers killed in the line of duty. It may not be today or tomorrow, but it will be soon. It will definitely be within my lifetime. It is my goal It is my vision to put something up that is worthy of these people who have given their life. I've had people address me and ask why? What makes them any different than a race car driver who's been killed on the racetrack? What makes them any different than a maintenance man who's been killed during a robbery? Well, you see, these individuals, these private security personnel, gave their life to protect their client, the property, the assets, the people on the property, the visitors, the employees, like the security officer this weekend at the mall. He could have walked away. He could have looked the other way. He could have said, well, they're fighting, there's a problem, I'll observe and report like they did in Washington, like they did in Seattle. I'll just make a note of it in my report. Who cares if someone gets stabbed? Who cares if somebody dies? I'm just a guard. I'm just here to observe and report, and so I'll put that in my report. No, he got involved, and so did all of the other security officers killed every year. And so we're going to put something up that will recognize that dedication, that will recognize the heroics of these men and women. It is a horseshoe, semicircle type memorial wall that's a plan. It will have a bronze guard at each end of the memorial site. I'm getting a little choked up here. It will have a lake or a pond with a water feature overlooking it on manicured lawns. And we're also going to have a Security Officer Hall of Fame, and we will begin that in a virtual Hall of Fame online within this next month in March. It will be online, and then soon I hope to have it adjoining the memorial wall. If you would like to become involved in this, if you have maybe you're an architect, maybe you're a designer, maybe you know something about putting up memorial walls, please email me at Rick, M-R-I-C-K-M, at privateofficer.com, and I'd be happy to call you and discuss more about this with you. If you are rich, if you're wealthy, if you'd like to donate, if you have more money than you know what to do with, please, we ask you, I'm not going to beg you, but I do ask you sincerely to help us with the funding of this very worthwhile, worthy cause. Please email me at rickm@privateofficer.com. You can contact us at any time, day or night, on the web by going to our website, privateofficer.com. Someone somewhere is always monitoring the site. We seldom sleep. Anyone who is an associate or a member of our association can verify that. Anytime they send an email, they usually get one back within a few moments, an hour at the most. Everyone involved here is very accessible, and they respond back very quickly. Well, that's about all of the time that we have for today's broadcast. We're sorry that it was not a live program, but we have a great show scheduled for Wednesday. We hope that you will join us at 4 p.m. Wednesday Eastern Time, every Sunday and every Wednesday, same time, same place, 4 p.m. Tell your friends, tell your coworkers, shout it from the mountains about Private Officer. Let them know about the association. Let them know about all of the great things that we're doing for the security industry. Ask them to become involved. If you'd like to be a guest on the radio show, you are a director of security, or you've been involved in a major situation that might be beneficial for our listeners to hear about, send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we hope that you have a great and a blessed week, and we hope to talk with you soon. Thank you again for listening. Remember, join us Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Be safe.